A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Words Appear, a Netflix comedy special. Backstage, Taylor pulls on the shiny pale pink jacket. She pulls her ponytail out of the jacket and strides towards a small platform. She stands on the platform, and the platform rises.
Ladies and gentlemen, Taylor Tomlinson!
Taylor waves as the platform rises onto the stage. The title appears, Taylor Tomlinson, Have It All. She stands at the top of two staircases, both illuminated in flashing magenta light. Holding onto the banister, she descends a staircase, strides across the stage, and pulls a microphone out of a mic stand.
DC, how we doing?
Taylor moves the mic stand over to the side of the stage.
How stupid was that? I came up from the floor like I'm a fucking Jonas Brother. I know that was silly, and it was my idea. I was so embarrassed that I thought of that, but it was too late when we got here to change it because men with jobs had built it. And we're operating it very well, I might add. And I was just like, we could probably just scrap it, right? They're like, well, this is like a week of our lives. So I know that that was dumb. Thank you for indulging me. How are we doing, DC? Thank you so much for coming.
She paces across the stage.
I have to be honest, my career is going very well right now. This is the last night of the biggest tour I've ever done. I am filming my third Netflix special tonight, and recently someone was using my name and photos on a dating app.
Her eyes widen.
It was me, I was doing it. Went through a breakup, got on a dating app. Why? Because my married friends told me to. If you're single, your married friends don't want you to be happy. They don't. They want you on those apps because the apps look fun and they can't go on them. So they want to stand behind you like a kid at an arcade with no fucking quarters while you fight for your life out there. They're like, go left, go right, go left, go right. You're like, do you want to play? They're like, more than anything. But I have the high score, so it wouldn't be fair. Your married friends don't want more married friends. Nobody wants more married friends. I'm sorry if you're married, and I know you're up front because two-income household. Nobody wants more married friends, okay? Because your life updates are boring. I'm happy you're settled. Good for you. You know who has fun life updates? Your single friends, because we're out there in the trenches making mistakes named Trevor, usually. Have you asked your married friends what they did over the weekend? You're like, what'd you guys do this weekend? They're like, I know, just woke up next to my soulmate again. Then you ask your single friend, you're like, what'd you do this weekend? They're like, I woke up in a shallow grave.
She leans back.
You're like, why are you proud of that? Did you have sex in a grave? They're like, why do you think we dug the grave? Do you guys have that one single friend who thinks she's really hot and fun, but she's actually just in constant danger all the time? That one girl, every time she tells you a dating story, you're like, oh my God, okay. No, we're not judging, but maybe just share your location with us indefinitely. I have one friend like that. Every week she tells me the scariest stories I've ever heard in my life. Just like, I had the hottest date Friday, Taylor. I'm making out with this guy at a bar, so sexy. Takes my hand, he's like, let me show you something. Pulls me back through the kitchen, into the back alley, pulls out his huge gun. Points it right at my face, like, give me your phone, your keys, and your wallet. I'm like, okay, kinky, I'll try anything once, right? He hits me in the head. I wake up 30 minutes later, alone in a puddle. I have to hitchhike home. Oh my God, I am such a Samantha.
She leans her head back and strikes a pose.
I'm like, okay, we think you got mugged, babe. We think. She's like, mugged? Oh my God, you're such a prude, Taylor. He's gonna call me. He has my phone. Seriously, you'll meet him. He took my breath away. We're like, no, he knocked the wind out of you. Your friends always say the dumbest shit when you go through a breakup, trying to be helpful, right? Like, well, why don't you just date yourself? Because you told me not to settle. What the fuck? I can do better than me. Why can't you just be single for a year? Why can't you go for a walk without headphones? Because you'll think about death the whole time. Exactly. But this last breakup was different for me because this was the first breakup I had gone through since I got on Netflix. And before I was on Netflix, every time I went through a breakup, my friends were very supportive. Like, we're so sorry, we're here for you, it'll get better. Then I got on Netflix and I went through a breakup and all my friends were like, well.
She grimaces, raises her eyebrows and shrugs.
I mean, you have your dream job. So. Yeah, all my friends looked at my sad face and went, you can't have it all, bitch. All of them. And I was so offended. And then I thought about it for a minute and I was like, you know what? I don't want anybody to have it all either. None of us do. It's why they keep putting out Marilyn Monroe documentaries where they're like, she's actually pretty sad. And we're like, yeah, she fucking was. Nobody wants anybody to have it all. If someone has their soulmate, you don't want them to have their dream job too. If someone has their dream job, they don't get to be in love on top of that. If someone has their dream job and their soulmate, bare minimum, their parents better be divorced. I'd prefer they were an orphan.
She stares, wide-eyed, as she strolls across the stage.
Nobody wants anybody to have it all. When I was a kid, I didn't think you could have it all. When I was a kid, I thought you either got to be hot or have a good personality. I thought that's how people were divided. I thought life was fair. And that got me through a lot of ugly years as a child where I'm like, it's okay that I'm not more symmetrical because I have this great, awesome personality that will surely reveal itself any day now. It's coming with my period and my Hogwarts letter. I can feel it. And that got me all the way to sixth grade when I met my friend Krista, and she was pretty and funny and smart and nice. And that's when I stopped believing in God.
She nods.
But so many of my friends said a version of this to me after my last breakup that I actually started to feel really guilty. Because you know what, DC? This is my dream job. I can't believe I'm filming my third Netflix special tonight. I cannot believe. I have been so insanely lucky in my career. And the more I thought about that, the more I was like, yeah, Taylor, nobody has every single thing going for them as a person. You have been so blessed. Be grateful for what you have. Focus on that. Nobody gets to have it all. And then I saw Hugh Jackman in person. And I was like, oh, I guess you can have it all, but there's none left because God gave it all to you. Hugh Jackman is a perfect specimen of a human man. Seeing him in person was a religious experience. It changed me. It was like seeing the Grand Canyon. I think everyone should do it at least once before they die. He is a wonder of the world, that man. It was like seeing Niagara Falls. You can bring the whole family, you get a little wet, but it's fun. It was. Here's what happened. So about a year and a half ago, we were in New York City doing shows on tour, and we had an off night in between theater shows. So me and my buddy Dustin and his wife Melissa and a few of our other friends who are also happy went to go see The Music Man on Broadway, which was starring Hugh Jackman. Was it a good show? I don't know, but Hugh Jackman was there the whole time. They should have called the show, "We Got Hugh Jackman in a Room. Who wants to see him?" The show was great. At the end of the show, they're doing curtain calls. All the actors are taking their bows. One of the actors steps forward and goes, "You've come on a very special week because tonight we're raising money for an amazing charity called Broadway Cares. And tonight Hugh is going to sign the pair of gloves he wore in the show. And we're going to auction them off to the highest bidder." And I looked at my friends and I was like, I mean...
She looks from side to side.
I have money. And they were like, really? This is what you're going to spend the Netflix money on, huh? And I was like, well, I don't have a family.
Gripping the microphone, she leans her head back and raises her eyebrows.
There's no one else here, and I've already had braces. If I can't have it all, I'm going to have those gloves. Also, I just thought it would be hilarious as a bit, because everybody asks you, when you get on television, they're like, what'd you spend that money on? Did you buy a new jacket? Did you buy a new car? And I'm like, how funny would it be if my first big TV purchase was a pair of sweaty gloves worn by Wolverine, right? It's like, what am I, a man? So dumb. So I start competing in the auction, and I'm doing pretty well, because I got nothing to lose and no one to live for. And I'm doing so well that it gets down to me and just two other bidders. It gets down to me, an older woman towards the front, and I kid you not, Jake from State Farm.
She nods.
That is 100% true, that detail, and I hesitate to include it because it makes the story sound like a dream I had once. He's like, so in the dream, I'm trying to get Hugh Jackman's gloves. But then Jake from State Farm's there. He thinks he's going to get them. I'm like, fat chance, commercial boy. Those gloves are mine. Then Flo from Progressive rides in on a horse for some reason. But whoops, who's that? Tony the Tiger pops a wheelie on his motorbike. All cash offer. Can't be Tony. That's old money.
She crouches down.
So it is now down to me, this woman, and Jake. I think what happened next was, I think Jake could tell that me and this woman needed the win more than he did. So, like a good neighbor, State Farm backs out.
Crouching down, she steps backwards.
It is that down to me and this woman. We are ping-ponging back and forth, back and forth. I think I blacked out for a minute because when I came to, we were at a number that I've not agreed to pay since college. So exactly like college, I'm like, oh, this is crazy. I'm not gonna finish.
She opens her mouth wide, scowls, and smiles.
As they're about to say, once, twice, sold, to the woman in the front, Hugh Jackman, steps forward, stops the auctioneer, and goes, before we end the auction, I just have to say, I am so moved by the generosity of tonight's audience. You know, I have two gloves. If I were to sign both of them, would these two ladies match each other's bid? And he looked right at me.
She touches her stomach.
Now, I've never paid for sex.
Grave-faced, she glances up.
But I did drop $7,000 on eye contact with Hugh Jackman.
She turns away. She wanders over to a stool, picks up a bottle of water, and takes a sip.
Thank you for clapping. That joke was expensive. They're like, don't worry, it's a tax write-off. I'm like, don't worry, I will make sure that it is. I wish I could tell you that the whole time I was like, it's for charity. But the truth is, I completely forgot till the end. And even then, I was like barely listening. I was too busy talking to the glove, like, Hugh's fingers were inside you. What was that like?
She mimes the glove talking.
He's surprisingly gentle. I knew it.
She giggles and takes another sip of water.
I love telling that story because I can always tell who grew up in church based on who starts laughing at, you know I have two. You're like, oh, I read the Bible. I know they're about to cut a baby in half.
She sips water, puts the bottle back down on the stool, and wanders across the stage.
I don't think the dating app thing is for me, by the way. I don't think I can do it. Is anyone in here on dating apps? Okay. Has anyone in here never been on a dating app? Oh, I don't care for that. Wish I hadn't asked. The smugness of those woos. I hated every second of that. If you've never been on a dating app, let me tell you what it's like. Every dating app profile, you get 6 photos of what look like 6 different human beings. And then you have to go and sit at a coffee shop and wait for him. Like, come on, picture number 3. Come on, picture number 3. And then he gets there and you're like, God damn it, it's 4. But you can't just leave. You gotta sit there for 45 minutes, nodding and smiling, knowing you're gonna ghost him later. You feel creepy. You feel like Haley Joel Osment in The Sixth Sense, just like, oh, he doesn't know he's dead yet.
She grimaces.
Dating is so awkward, especially dating apps. A dating app date is not a blind date, but it is a nearsighted one, you know? The first date's easy. You get dinner, drinks, that's basic. But then they're like, this was fun. We should hang out again. What should we do? And you're like, well, shit, I'm not a person with hobbies or interests. I'm basically just a stack of frightened possums in a trench coat right now, doing an impression of someone I saw on the street 8 years ago. So then you gotta go home and get online like a loser, like date ideas 2023. We could bowl. You ever drive past a bowling alley? Like, at least stay open. Second dates, that's how. We could bowl or mini golf. Is laser tag a real thing? You're just doing shit church youth groups do when they're trying not to touch each other. Just lace up those bowling shoes, my man. You're either gonna commit to me or Christ tonight. Can't finger these holes, you can't finger those. Pick your ball. Pick your ball. I'm an introvert, and I think that's why dating's harder for me. Extroverts are better at dating because you like getting to know people. You're like into it for some reason. That's why I think you're better at casual sex. When you think about it, a one-night stand is really just meeting someone as hard as you possibly can.
She thrusts her fist downwards repeatedly.
I've never been able to have casual sex as an introvert. I can't even relate to my male comic friends in green rooms when they're talking shop about road sex. They're like, yeah, I had sex with this girl, and then kind of just lost interest after I came. I'm like, totally. That's how I feel after I poop in a Barnes & Noble.
She swaggers.
Right? Because it's like, I got what I came for. We can go.
She spins around and struts upstage.
But those are my most fun friends to talk to. My friends who have casual sex regularly, I always want to hear their updates. I have a friend, she's on Tinder. I call her every Monday. I'm like, hey, how was your weekend? She goes, great. Remember that guy I told you about? He is so good at dirty talk, Taylor. I'm like, what's like good dirty talk, in your opinion? She goes, I really like being called like a slut and a whore. And I'm like, oh my God, If you like being called a slut and a whore in bed, your parents loved you so much. Like, dirty talk is hot because it's shit you've never heard before. Ooh. If someone called me a whore in bed, I'd be like, excuse me? That's what my father calls me. That is a family name, boundaries, sir. Look around, is this sex or Thanksgiving? Read the room. I wanna hear some shit in bed I've never heard. I wanna hear like, hey, I set up a college fund for you. I think your arms look too thin. I really enjoyed your Netflix special. I have some daddy issues. I'm working on them. In therapy, not in my relationships, not anymore. I used to put my dad and my ex-boyfriends on the same group text and write in all caps, I don't feel pretty today. Whose fault do we think that is?
She glares around the room.
Disgust.
She grins as she paces.
That worked so much better than it usually does. I'm worried about you guys. That one's usually for me. Are we all right?
She giggles.
I really like you guys. You guys are great.
She laughs.
I have another friend who's such an extrovert. She's gonna have a threesome with the guy she's dating. I was like, really? She goes, yeah, would you ever have a threesome? I was like, oh my God, no. I don't even wanna hang out with two other people. I've never been in the middle seat on a flight fighting for an armrest, like, wish we were all naked. That would be cool.
She mimes sitting in a chair and elbowing the people sitting on either side of her.
I don't even think I could date an extrovert again. I dated an extrovert once. We moved in together. The first week we lived together, he's like, hey, what if we had some people over? I was like, look, if you don't want to be with me, just say so. You want to have people over? Over what? My dead body? If you're an extrovert and you're in love with an introvert, you gotta understand, asking us to invite people over is like asking us to do anal. Watch our face change. Like, I'm sorry, is it your birthday?
She scowls.
Seems like a big ask for a random Tuesday. I live alone now, it's incredible. I fall asleep in the middle of the bed like a boy king, just like, good night, Joffrey. It's fantastic. I eat all the food I buy. Every grocery I buy, it goes mirror, it goes bad. That's power, DC. Yeah. If I clog the toilet at home, I don't have to deal with it right away. That's freedom, DC. When I lived with a man I was attracted to, I was always like, no, please, toilet, don't tell him I'm a human woman. I beg of you, take my dark secrets to your watery grave. Remember our bargain. Now I'm like, you loser, toilet. That's what lids are for. You want to see the sky, do your job. I was so afraid of being single all throughout my 20s. I was terrified of being single. I used to just jump from relationship to relationship to relationship because I was so scared that I was going to die alone. And now that I'm older, I'm like, I'm not going to die alone. I don't go hiking by myself, all right? Someone will be there when I die. A doctor, a murderer. Someone will bear witness. But I've been single for the last year now, and it has been the most relaxing year of my entire life. It has been lovely waking up every day going, oh, no one's gonna make me cry today but me. The peace, it's lovely. Here's the thing, being single is not what sucks. Dating is what sucks, and you can opt out of that. Dating is what's shitty. The constant push and pull of hope and disappointment. Dating feels like being a stuffed animal in a claw machine. Like, oh my God, it's happening! No, it's not.
Crouching down, she mimes being the claw machine.
Oh my God, here we go. Wow, can't believe I told people. That's embarrassing. And you're just moving me over to get to something else. I understand, I get that.
She crosses the stage.
And things change so quickly as you're getting older, too. I had a friend, I didn't talk to her for a couple weeks. I called her to catch up. She goes, you'll never guess. I think I met my soulmate on Bumble. Gone, just like that. They're getting married this spring. We were lying in the same pile of stuffed animals for years. I closed my eyes for 2 minutes, and when I opened them, she was outside the glass going, it'll happen for you, too!
Grinning, she bounces up and down. Miming, she breathes onto the window of the claw machine and draws a heart on the glass with her finger.
I love being the neutral friend who's not dating, because as you get closer to 30, Breakups get more and more devastating. Half my friends are getting engaged, and the other half are going through the worst breakup of all time with the person they thought they were going to die with, which means half the phone calls I get are, I'm getting married, and the other half are, I'm getting old, and I'm like, I am getting Taco Bell. Who wants something? Taco Bell, good for every occasion. Nothing will make you more grateful to be single than watching your friend go through a devastating breakup. That's messed up to say, but it's the truth. I have a friend just went through a breakup, still follows her ex on social media because they're trying to be mature and evolved. Rookie mistake. Her ex just posted a photo of him and his new girlfriend, who is a model. I know, don't worry, we all called her. We're like, hey, how's it going? Have you been online today? Because we were thinking maybe doing like a no screens day. We were thinking maybe we just power down, get a quilt, find a field, maybe crack the Bible open one more time. I don't know. She's like, I already saw it. We're like, oh, we're too late. Okay, are you okay? She's like, no, honestly, I wish he was just like dating a man instead. And we're like, oh, you are so problematic, Trish. Why? Why would that be better for you if he was just dating a man instead? She goes, no, listen, because then if he dumped me for a man, it would be like, well, okay, then he just wanted something that I could never be. And we were like, well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of... No, 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 no. No, we think you're so pretty, babe, but like a model? Like, that's kind of like a different... Like, look around. Don't you think if you were a model, we'd all be models? But this is... Like, this isn't model squad. This is personality squad. Like, this is a different team you're on. We have another friend who just got cheated on, which is crazy. You can't cheat anymore. It's not the 90s, you idiot. Your phone is tracking your every movement. You're going to get caught. You're gonna go out and buy your side chick flowers. Your wife's gonna get a text from Bank of America like, we noticed that Steve was being thoughtful?
Leaning her head back, she frowns.
That just seemed like suspicious activity over here at BOA, because we know that POS. I think it's important to hang out with your married friends if you are the single friend. You play an important role in their lives. I love to third wheel it with my married friends, go out to dinner, see a movie, because I love that moment when they walk up to meet me in front of the restaurant and I can tell that they've been fighting in the car. Married people think you hide it so well. You're just like, let's just table it till later. Let's just table it till later and have a nice evening. And then you come in real sweaty like, hey, it's good to see you. Glad we're finally doing this. Did they bring bread? They should have brought bread. The bread should have beat us here. Hey, can we get some bread, please? Can we get something to do with our hands other than attack each other, please? How are you? Tell us about you. Don't make me look at her. Don't make me look at her. And that's when you, as a single friend, get to tell your married friends all about dating nowadays. You get to tell them about the ghosting and the catfishing and the deep fake AI porn. And you know they get back in the car a few hours later, like...
She gazes down and exhales through her mouth. She extends her arm and mimes taking someone's hand.
I don't say this enough, but I'm grateful for you.
She nods.
Hang out with your married friends. Go to their barbecue. I'd love to come. What can I bring? Ice, dessert, perspective? You want to know what the best part about being single is, though? The best part about being single, hands down, is that you do not have to introduce anybody to your parents. Have you guys introduced people you were dating to your parents? It's not about introducing people you love to one another, is it? No. It's about showing your partner why you're mean to them sometimes.
She gestures behind her, wide-eyed, and nods.
It's about taking your sexual partner back to the scene of the crime. To say, see, the stories are true. Because you don't want your partner to like your parents. You want them to walk out of that night going, oh my God. Your parents are just, I know, I know. I mean, seriously, babe, how did you ever? I don't know. I don't know. Kind of seems like maybe people should cut me some slack when I'm being a bitch, though, huh?
She looks down at the floor as she wanders across the stage.
Kind of seems like maybe now that we have all the information, turns out I could be a lot crazier if I wanted. But I keep a lid on it pretty good, and I deserve to stop at Target on the way home. With no time limit. And I want a cart, not a basket. You have to be careful when you introduce people to your parents, though, because your parents don't always show up as your parents, do they? Mine never did. My parents undermined me every single time I brought someone home to meet them. I did everything right. I did the huddle up in the car before we went in, like, hey, remember what I told you? Those people in there, they're not your friends. Whatever they say to you, do not take that personally. It's not about you. It's about them. Do you want to write that on your hand in case you forget? No? You can look at my tattoo if you get scared. Let's do it. And then you go inside prepared for your parents to show their true colors. And your parents float downstairs. And they're just amazing all night. They're like fun, cool, laid back. Your dad's in an open Hawaiian shirt. Just a one-man conga line, topping off drinks, saying all kinds of progressive shit you've never heard him say. You want another beer? We should golf sometime. What are your pronouns again?
She mouths the words, what the fuck?
And you gotta get back in the car later, muttering like a conspiracy theorist. Like, well, that was there, and I know it happened, and it was all right. And no one can tell me what didn't happen, and I know where it is. While your boyfriend buckles up, like, I don't know what you're talking about, babe. Your parents are awesome. And you're like, oh. No, they are not. I don't know who those lizard people were, but they are not the ones who broke me. And the next time you see your parents, they're all smug, like, Jason really seemed to like us. You're like, I know what you're doing. Oh, maybe your therapist wants to meet us next, get our side of the story. I cannot wait till you're in the ground. All right, well, we'd like to be cremated. I will scatter your ashes where God can't find them.
She glowers, takes a step back, and shakes herself off.
I will see you both at Easter.
She picks up the bottle of water and takes a sip. She puts the bottle back down on the stool and wanders away.
Therapy gets a lot better when you're single, too, because you have time to dig into things like that. When you're in a relationship, you waste half of every therapy session going over all the shit your partner won't go to therapy for. When you're single, that's an hour of you every week. It's almost too much time. You really gotta start doing your homework on your days off. After my last breakup, I was coming into therapy hot every week with ideas like, hey, you know what I realized this week? The elementary school I went to growing up, across the street from a cemetery.
Leaning back, she opens out her hand and mimes indicating something on the floor. She points at the floor and moves her hand away with a flourish.
And she's like, okay. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know, but that really seems like something, doesn't it? I bring the ingredients, you bake the cake. I'm not a doctor. I went down deep inside me, found something scary, brought it back up to you. I was so brave. Where's my treat?
She holds out her hand, raises her eyebrows, and stamps her foot.
So brave, favorite client. I really want to find out if I'm my therapist's favorite client. You can't just ask. They won't tell you. I've tried.
She giggles.
The only way I can think to figure this out is to get in touch with another one of her clients.
She nods as she looks around at the audience.
And then me and that client plan to call her over the weekend, separately, at the exact same time. Suicidal. And then we just see whose call she takes. We both want to end it. Who you want to keep here, Dr. S? And then whoever wins that face-off, we go to the next set of clients. And we just kind of do brackets, you know? Sort of like a March Sadness situation. I've been working on anxiety and therapy. That's been my main focus for the last few years. Anybody have anxiety? Does anybody struggle with panic attacks? Has anyone ever gone to the emergency room for anxiety or panic attacks? Oh, a few of us, look at that. What do we think was happening, heart attack? Yeah. And then you get there and they're like, oh, it's actually your mind that's attacking you. Yeah, I'll make you feel better. I went to the emergency room once because I fell asleep in AirPods, woke up, couldn't find one, thought I swallowed it.
Grinning, she nods.
You meant you drove halfway there and it turned around because it was silly? Nope, went the whole way. Got seen. I wish I could pretend this story happened a really long time ago, but the technology involved makes that impossible. So I've always had a lot of trouble sleeping my entire life. And before AirPods came out, I would fall asleep in regular headphones, listening to a podcast or a movie, something to calm me down. And before AirPods came out, headphones had cords on them. So if you swallowed one of those, you just pull it out like a magician's scarf. No big deal. But then they came out with AirPods, so I started falling asleep in those. And so a few years ago, doesn't matter how many, I fell asleep in two AirPods, woke up in one AirPod, and was like, well, obviously I swallowed it. Like a baby or a dog. Convinced my sister to take me to the emergency room, ruining Christmas morning for everyone. So we get to the emergency room in our hometown where I have to tell three grown women at the front desk what I'm doing there. I'm like, well, you probably get this all the time. But it would seem that I may have, inadvertently, in my sleepy sleeps, swallowed an AirPod. And they were like, an AirPod, sweetie, those are pretty big, right? Those are big. You really think you could have swallowed an AirPod? I said, how about we don't have a team discussion about what I can and can't swallow, okay? And they're like, wow, someone was ugly in middle school. We'll take you back. So they take me back. We're waiting for a doctor, which, by the way, I don't know what I thought a doctor was gonna do if I had, in fact, swallowed an AirPod. They're not gonna perform surgery. They're gonna go, oh my God, yeah, it's in there. Well, stop at Taco Bell on the way home. Good luck. Taco Bell, good for every occasion. I don't know what I thought the AirPod was gonna do to me damage-wise in there. I'm like, what if it's still charged? What if it electrocutes my intestines or starts playing Glee covers and everyone can hear? My sister's like, you deleted them all. I'm like, not all of them, some of them are bangers. Before a doctor can come in to see us, my other sister calls us from home and goes, hey, yeah, we found it in the pillowcase. Does crazy wanna come home and have pancakes now? I'm so embarrassed. I wanna sneak out the back as quickly as possible. I'm like, let's just go, let's just leave. And my sister's like, you can't just disappear. They're gonna think something bad happened. I was like, something bad did happen, let's go. She's like, that's an emergency exit. I'm like, it's an emergency room. It's my regular exit. Let's leave. But here's my problem with the emergency room. When you are having an anxiety or panic attack, it is your only option, which is why I think they need to open a second option right next door called the anxiety room. All right? So you have the ER and the AR. And the ER is where you go when you've been shot, stabbed, you are actively bleeding. That's where you go. You fill out all that complicated paperwork because that seems like the time to do it. And then the AR is where you go when you're like, I don't know where the bad is, but it's in me somewhere. It's either cancer or the devil, but I have to get it out. And that is just one fill in the blank form that says, I know that it is probably fine, but...
Her eyes widen as she looks around the theater. She lowers her gaze and mimes writing something down.
My bones feel itchy. I don't know! I just need someone in a white coat to tell me I'm stupid. I know I mentioned during that joke that I have trouble sleeping, DC. Please, for the love of God, do not DM me articles after this show. I know you mean well, but I promise you I've read every sleep article out there. It is three ways how to sleep better. It is the same recycled tips over and over and over. Get a light lavender mist to spray on the cold side of your pillow at twilight. What am I, a witch? Make sure it's really dark and quiet in your room at night.
Oh my God, it's supposed to be dark? I'm such a dumb bitch. I've been sleeping under a disco ball because vibes. I didn't know. Okay, dark, quiet, check, fixed.
Why not leave your cell phone in a different room at night? Why don't you put your baby outside?
She gapes as she looks around the room.
This is not to say that I'm against sleep advice. I'm just jaded, you know? I think I feel the way about sleep tips the way a lot of men feel about porn, where I'm like, no, I've seen all the basic stuff. Send me something weird.
She takes a sip of water.
Now I'm gonna ask this question, and let me preface this by saying it's totally okay if nobody has an answer. I ask every audience every night, it's nothing weird. If you think that you have a weird sleep tip that I've never heard of, I've read every article, I've listened to every podcast, I've seen a lot of TikToks, I ask this question to every audience every night of this tour. If you think you have a weird sleep tip that I have never, ever heard of, I would love for you to raise your hand and tell me what that is. That being said, if anybody raises their hand and goes, have you tried the Calm meditation app? I will have you removed.
Staring intently at the audience, she nods.
It's okay if no one has one. Does anyone have a weird sleep tip? Oh, we got a confident one right here. What have you got? masturbate? Bitch, please. You think I haven't tried masturbating? I don't go to sleep, I come to sleep. Next.
She prowls across the stage.
All right. What else we got? Thanks for playing. All right, what have we got? There's two things. Oh, and I do them in order. Okay.
You have to do a handstand.
I have to do a handstand against the wall? Okay, yoga, no. This sounds like I need to be hotter for this. I can't. All right. I just want to hear the end. So you do a handstand against the wall.
Yeah.
Just for a couple seconds. Okay. Yeah, just easy, breezy, beautiful cover girl. This is how hot people talk. They're like, just do a handstand for 10 seconds. This is no big deal. You're like, some of us are top heavy. All right. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. And then you sleep upside down. Okay. I haven't heard the handstand part, but I have heard sleep upside down because it changes the bed. Yeah. It confuses your body. Yeah, confuse yourself to sleep. Okay, that's one. I've half heard that one. Okay, we'll half give it to you. Anybody else think they have a weird one? Like, really weird? It's okay if nobody does. I'm just curious. You do? Okay, who said woo? All right, do it. What do you got?
Listen to him talk.
Listen to who?
This guy.
Listen to the guy you're with talk? Are you trying to get left? Or are you trying to offload your partner right now? Like, this one's available if you, he just talks and talks and talks. You fall asleep eventually, this bit right here. Wow, okay, that was fun. We all stepped into divorce. Wasn't that a good time? That's the first time that's happened when I asked that question. Every night of the tour, never gotten one of those. I can take this boring piece of shit home.
She mimes pointing at a person beside her and then laughs.
All right, this is the last one. What do you got?
Listen to someone's random phone call in the other room. I've listened to my mom have a conversation with my grandma.
You eavesdrop on somebody's phone conversation from the other room? You've listened to your mom talk to your grandma? Did you miss the whole part where I said, I am alone? At least the last girl offered me someone. Have you tried falling asleep to the sound of people who love you in the other room? I would that I could! Okay, well, those hurt my feelings. I'm gonna tell you the best one I've heard on this tour. That's one I heard on this tour. It was a few months ago. There was a woman in the front row. She raised her hand. She goes, I have a weird sleep tip. I said, what do you got? She goes, when I can't sleep, I lay on the floor in the kitchen for 10 minutes.
She frowns.
And I was like, okay. And then what happens? She goes, then I get back in bed, I go sleep. This poor girl, abusive parents herself. She's like, oh, you can't sleep? You know, some kids don't have beds, right? Why don't you go lay face down on the cold tile for 10 minutes, see if you're not more grateful after that. And you know what, DC? I tried it and it works. It totally works. I do it on the bathroom floor in hotel rooms. I've had COVID many times, but.
She takes a sip of water.
I want to get a handle on my anxiety because I know if I didn't have anxiety, I'd be a totally different person. The worrying alone takes up so much mental and emotional energy every day. And it doesn't help. It doesn't prepare you for anything bad happening like you think it will. I told my therapist this recently. I go, I know worrying doesn't do any good, right? I go, what's that one quote by that great philosopher? When you worry, you just suffer twice. She goes, I don't know that one. Who said it? I looked it up. It's from a fucking Harry Potter prequel.
She turns away.
I was so confident, I Googled it in front of her. She's like, what philosopher said that? I'm like, Newt Scamander? Shit.
Bringing her hand to her forehead, she turns away.
I think it was a fortune cookie. Can we just move on? I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
She grins.
Without anxiety, I'd have a totally different personality because so many decisions I make in life are fear-based, or so many decisions I don't make are fear-based. I watch the same shows and movies over and over because it calms me down. I know what to expect. It doesn't stress me out. I date the same type of person over and over because I know what to expect. It doesn't stress me out. If you think you have a type, you don't. You have anxiety. See someone. I have three younger siblings. They are all Gen Z. They're all queer. They're all in serious relationships. And they are all so disappointed in me every time I start dating another straight white guy. They're like, come on, Taylor, fuck the patriarchy. I'm like, you guys, I'm literally fucking the patriarchy. Do you know how hard it is to continue dating straight men when you are surrounded by three queer relationships up close? Queer relationships are the most beautiful, thoughtful, creative things I've ever seen in my life. My sister and her partner are in a romance novel. Every time I talk to them, I'm like, hey, I know you had a hard week at work. You doing okay? And she's like, yeah, I did. So to cheer me up, my partner got me my favorite snack in a limited edition flavor. They got me a little vial of sand from the beach we went to on our first date. And you know how I always wanted an Easy Bake Oven growing up and never got it? They found one on eBay.
As she recoils, she stumbles backwards.
I'm like, oh my God, are they cheating on you? She's like, what? No, they just listen to me when I talk and remember things I say. And I'm like, what? No, go through their phone. This shit stinks. Go through their phone, trust me. She's like, okay, how are you and your boyfriend doing, Taylor? I'm like, oh, we're good. My boyfriend bought me a hot dog because he wanted one, and I was there too. You had to be there. It was so romantic. He was like, what? Sorry, too, I guess. I don't mean to shit on straight guys. You're very sweet. I've dated a lot of you, but oh my God, you are so proud of yourselves for almost nothing in a relationship. It is impressive to watch. Honestly, a straight man will put a candle in his bathroom and be like, I changed my whole life for you.
She mimes, indicating the candle.
And you're like, you didn't even light it, man. It kind of smells like lavender if you get down real close. I'd trade this candle for a slice of empathy, if I'm being honest with you. Have you tried to explain the concept of empathy to a tall, handsome white guy? That is a delicate conversation. You're like, okay, imagine that you're me. But I'm not. Okay.
She glances up.
Hard to argue, touche. Imagine that you feel how I feel, but I don't. Okay. Imagine that you could feel how I feel. I never will. Okay. Imagine you're a basketball player. Okay.
She strikes a pose.
What else? I like this game. Fine, all right, so in this analogy, you're a basketball player. And you're a really great teammate. How about that? You love your team, you're loyal to your team, you do everything for your team, and your team is not noticing. Your team is not appreciating you for all you do, for the MVP that you are. And this week, your team forgot your birthday.
She glares.
Now, how does that make you feel? That sucks, yes.
She grins and nods.
Try and get a hot guy to empathize is like try and get a woman to come. And they're like, nobody move! We're so close. It's a car alarm. It's a car alarm. Stay focused, please. Work so hard.
She picks up the bottle of water.
So anyway, I've been trying to figure out if I'm bisexual or if I just binged Euphoria too fast.
She takes a sip of water and puts the bottle down.
Because I've been trying to date women, but it is so hard. I don't know how to get women to like me. I know how to get men to like me. That's easy. You just trick them. You just wait until they kind of like you, and then you're like, you don't like me. And they're like, yeah, I do. And you're like, no, you don't. And they're like, yeah, I do. And you're like, no, you don't. And they're like, yeah, I do. And you just do that until they get you pregnant, I think. You just have to turn it into a fun challenge for them. Like, bet you can't spend the rest of your life with me. And they're like, fucking watch me, you bitch. It's like when you ask a kid to take out the trash, and they're like, no. And you're like, I'll time ya. And he's like,
she mimes running away.
And you're like, see, you didn't even think you wanted to do that. He's like, who cares? I'm the fastest boy alive.
She raises her arm and strikes a pose.
Hitting on women is so much harder. It feels so much more delicate. Like, hitting on a woman feels like trying to skip a stone on a lake. Hitting on a man feels like throwing a brick through a window. I'm like, I don't even really care. I just want to see what happens. I'm not going to live here, right? I might be sexist. I'm hearing it now as I'm talking. I think I'm sexist because when a man rejects me, I'm like, this idiot. But when a woman rejects me, I'm like, she probably knows what she's talking about. So I was talking to a friend of mine about it because, you know, you don't want to just like, it's scary to just say you're bisexual because then someone's always like, fucking prove it. Here's a picture of Margot Robbie. Are you wet? Let me feel. Like everyone's real aggressive about it. It's weird. You gotta like prove it to people. But I was asking my friend about it and she goes, well, obviously, sexuality is a spectrum. She watched Euphoria, too. But she goes, I know that I'm super straight because I could not go down on another girl. I think that's gross. And I was like, okay, let's think about this, Taylor. Why are you not going down on a girl right now? Is it because it's gross to you? And I was like, no, it's not that it's gross to me. is that I really don't want to be bad at something as an adult, okay? My brother is trans, my sisters are gay, and I identify as afraid. I am so afraid of failure. I can't even stick with new hobbies as an adult. How the fuck am I supposed to get good at... Getting good at going down on women to me would be like learning how to play the piano. I would love to have that skill. I would love to bust that shit out at parties, impress everyone, but I don't have the time or humility to sit down and learn new fingerings. I don't have it. I get halfway through Jingle Bells, I'm like, fuck, I suck, I should have started at 12, I'll never catch up. I already know how to play the clarinet. It is not my passion, but I have the respect of my peers. I have many years of experience under my belt, under someone's belt, under some belt. And when I was a kid, I didn't know there was another option. When I was a kid, they were like, you're a girl, you play clarinet. And I was like, what about piano? Could I play piano if I want? And they're like, sure, you can play piano if you want to go to fucking hell. Anybody else religious trauma? Do we have any of that in here? Okay. I'm so sorry if you don't have any. I know I'm a broken record about it. I should shut up about it, but I keep realizing new things every year. For example, did you guys know that when you come, you're not supposed to yell, take that, Jesus? Did you guys know that?
She takes a sip of water.
I wish that was a joke, DC. I really do. I do think even if you didn't grow up religious, a lot of people grew up sheltered, you know? Round of applause. How many people did not get a sex talk in here? Didn't get one. Round of applause. Oh, yeah, see? All right, now round of applause. Who did get a sex talk growing up? Who did get one? You did right here. Do you mind me asking you how old you were? Is it okay that I'm talking to you? I just want to make sure. If I talk to you and you're not into it, that's completely fine with me. I wouldn't talk to a live entertainer either. Do you consent to crowd work? I need a verbal yes, not just a thumbs up. Yes, see? Not that hard. That's how it's done. All right. How old were you when you got the sex talk?
Nine.
Okay. That seems a little early, but also kind of okay. I don't know how tall you were at nine. Right? Were you asking questions, or were your parents just like, it's time?
My mom took me for a picnic in the garden.
Your mom took you for a picnic in the garden? Fuck you so hard. Are you serious? Your mom took you to a picnic in the garden to tell you the horrors of sex. I'm sorry, I'm having an emotional reaction to that. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. This secret garden sex talk. Holy shit, okay, wow. What's that like, Lorelai Gilmore? Fuck me. So you weren't asking questions or anything. Your mom was just like, it's time. Oh, you were asking questions. See, a lot of people ask questions, and I didn't realize all these kids were so smart. I didn't know we were supposed to be smarter. I never asked any questions when I was a kid, which is so stupid now that I think about it. Because when I was a kid, before I got my period, I had three holes, right? I still do. I don't know why I said it like that. I still do, for the record, just for anybody watching. I always have had, always will have. I mean, I think when you get your tubes tied, do they seal it? Oh, I'm going to Google it. Forget this. This was a tangent. I'll deal with this on my own. But before I got my period, I had three holes, and one of the holes wasn't doing anything, right? And I never thought to ask anyone around me, hey, what's this unemployed hole doing between my other two holes that are working pretty hard? I just walked around all day like, I don't know, that's my big one.
She skips around.
God knows what he's doing. That's where my faith goes. After I saw Music Man, I started calling it my glove compartment, but that is another story.
She picks up the bottle of water and takes another drink.
This was my sex talk. So when I was 10, I read what sex was in a book, you know, not planning on it, just kind of like, oh my God, tried to forget. Just assaulted by Judy Blume, quite frankly. And then 2 years later, my dad was driving me home from school, and out of nowhere, he goes, do you know what sex is? And I was like, yeah, Dad, I read in a book. Let's never speak again, right? And he's like, all right, I need you to tell me what it is so I know that you know. My dad made me give him the sex talk. I was like, do you know what it is? He's like, why don't you just tell me what you know, and then I'll tell you what I know. And we'll get to the bottom of this together. I used to ask my parents for relationship advice every time I went through a bad breakup. Don't do that unless you want to learn too much. Am I your parents? I had a terrible breakup in my early 20s. And I remember I was back home. My stepmom was trying to comfort me. She goes, you know, Taylor, there was a guy in my 20s I really wanted to marry. And when it didn't work out, I was devastated. I said, really? I didn't know about this. And my dad goes, I did. She talks about him all the time. And I was like, well, wait, who was this guy? What was his deal? And she goes, well, he was really cool, actually. He was an Alzheimer's scientist. And my dad goes, notice how that's not cured yet.
She smiles, raises her eyebrows, and wanders across the stage.
And she's like, wow, honey, well, I hope we never get Alzheimer's. He's like, I hope we do, so we can all forget about this guy. I used to be way too loose with who I asked relationship advice from. I used to ask people in the audience, total strangers. I asked a couple in the front row of a show once, two couples therapists who had married each other, which I know, you ever see like quadruple stuffed Oreos and you're like, enough, right? That is a hat on a hat, it's excessive. But I was like, wow, two off-duty couples therapists, you gotta ask them, right? I said, do you guys have any advice for people in relationships, maybe people who are fighting a lot? And they said, we do. You know how a lot of people have a safe word to stop sex? Everyone needs to have a safe word during fights. So I asked a married friend of mine, I said, do you guys have a safe word for fights? And he was like, what? I'm like, it's a word that when you say it during the fight, it stops the fight. And he goes, oh yeah, we have one of those. I said, really? What is it? He goes, cunt.
She nods.
But I have to say it, it doesn't really work if she says it. I was like, Jesus, I was looking for like pineapple, dude, but. I used to ask people for relationship advice after breakups because I thought that that was me working on myself, but it really wasn't. It was just me trying to figure out how to get into another relationship as quickly as possible so I wouldn't have to work on myself. The reason people don't want to be single for long periods of time is that once you're single for a little bit, you start to notice, ooh, some of the issues in my relationships are still here. And it's just me now. There's only one set of footprints in the sand. And no one's carrying my ass, right? Like, I've realized in the last year, I still have a lot to work on. I've realized I'm very petty in relationships. I realize that because I don't wear perfume when I'm single. Don't even think about it. I wear perfume when I'm in a relationship, though, because I know that if we break up and you smell that smell later, you'll get sad. And that makes me happy. I don't wear perfume to smell good. I wear it to haunt you later. I was on a first date with a guy. I realized we both had three younger siblings. I said, oh my God, let's text our sibling group chats right now. Ask them what our biggest flaw is. I'm so fun on a first date. I can't believe I'm alone. He texts his brothers, hey guys, what's my biggest flaw? And they write back, works too hard, cares too much. One of them wrote back dyslexic, which I thought was pretty funny. He couldn't read it, but I could. Text my siblings, hey guys, what's my biggest flaw? And my brother writes back immediately, probably that you expect everyone to hurt you, so you just leave before they can.
Her jaw drops open.
I was like, dude, I'm on a date right now. He's like, oh, sorry, it works too hard. I thought this was a secure line. I'm a very emotional person. I'm a very emotional partner. I think I'm run by my emotions. Did you guys know that some people feel their feelings privately? Have you guys heard about this compartmentalizing bullshit? Some people apparently have these polite little feelings that shuffle up to them during the day, tug on their sleeve, like, hello, excuse me, I need to be felt at some point whenever you get a chance. And you're like, oh my God, well, I'm at work right now. And you're like, oh my God, you're at work? I'm so sorry. Do you have time later? Well, I get off at 6. Okay, like 6:30. Do you have time to feel abandoned and worthless? Okay, 6:30 in the parking lot. It's a date. I love you so much. You're doing a great job at work. Bye.
She scurries upstage.
Happened to me once. Every feeling I have demands to be felt immediately. Every feeling I have demands its own parade. Every feeling I have just turns into that scene from Aladdin where he's pretending to be a prince. It's like, OMG, Taylor's hungry. This could get dicey. Needs a sandwich. Now she's a bitch. Take it from me. But I'm glad I've had this year to work on this stuff because I needed it. I turned 30 2 weeks ago, and that means, thank you. And that means that I have spent the last 14 years of my life trying to get good at this, trying to get good at stand-up, trying to have the career that I am now fortunate enough to have. Thanks to all of you, honestly, yeah. And as grateful as I am, and as lucky as I am, it has really made me, this year especially, go, oh no, I don't know if I'm going to be good at this other stuff. I mean, I know I'm a good comedian. I don't know if I'm a good person. I don't know if I'm a good parent. I don't know if I'm a good partner. This hour of material that I'm doing right now, that's like, can I have it all? I don't even know. This is not a bit, DC. I am genuinely concerned. Because I know how hard it is to do this job and be in this business and have a family. I see how hard friends of mine work at it. I also see how little work people put into it. There are a lot of people in this business who are like, you can have kids and travel. They got FaceTime now. Which feels like tying your dog up outside a coffee shop and going, I can see him through the window. He's okay. And I still have a lot of childhood shit that I'm working through on my own. I don't want to put that on a kid, right? Like, I was watching a TED Talk recently. Sorry, I was watching a TikTok recently. I always get those confused. The information's still good, it's just vertical. That said, if you have childhood trauma you are still working through as an adult, you need to learn how to parent yourself as a grown-up. So I've been trying to do that in order to heal. I've been trying to parent myself. But I kind of feel like I got pregnant with me in high school. And I was not ready for this responsibility. And now I wake up every morning, totally overwhelmed, trying not to shake me. Like, okay, if I let you watch TikTok on my phone for 30 minutes, will you please stop crying? All my friends are like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I think I have colic. I kept me up all night. I love TikTok, but you know what's so funny to me about TikTok? All these kids on TikTok who are like lip syncing and dancing and like pretending they're in a music video, right? We all did that growing up, didn't we? Yeah, like alone in your room in the mirror, hairbrush, of course. But if anyone had walked in on you doing it.
She scowls.
You would have killed yourself, right? And these kids are online, like, I hope millions of people see this. It's like, you could benefit from some bullying, I think. Might have overcorrected a bit.
She moves the mic stand to center stage.
But I do have a lot of friends who are getting married and having kids, and, you know, they're condescending as hell. They're so, it's so funny how the same girls who used to wake up drunk on train tracks are now like, I don't know how you stay out past 10 p.m. Your lifestyle's really unhealthy. I'm like, I've seen you snort coke off a rusty bike rack. But you keep sniffing that baby's head like we all forgot.
She shakes her head and giggles.
But my friends who have kids and are married, like, they complain about their jobs, and I do the same dismissive thing right back to them, where I'm like, well, yeah, but you're married, so you're fine. They're like, yeah, but I'm miserable 60 hours of the week. I'm like, yeah, but you have your dream dick, so you're fine. And it's not great. And I think part of it is that we're all turning 30. And 30 was this age in our heads where we're like, well, by 30, we'll have all our shit together, right? So that kept us going through our 20s. We're like, we're 25 and we're garbage, but in 5 years, we'll have it all figured out. And then you're like, I'm 27 and I'm just a piece of shit, but that I have 3 years to turn this around. And then you're like, okay, I'm 29, crunch time, bitch. And now that we're all 30, we're like, oh shit, our lives are not going exactly as we always pictured them. And so now there's this weird comparing that's going on, this weird tension. Like, I know that all of my friends both pity and envy me. Just like I know that I both pity and envy them, right? I know my friends look at me and go, yeah, I mean, I would probably focus on work if I was all alone. And I go, yeah, I'd probably have a bunch of kids if I had no talent. So we're all...
She holds onto the mic stand and pulls it up.
And it's not healthy per se. But I do think it's good to focus on what is going right in your life. I think that's gratitude. I think that's important. And it has gotten me through a lot of weddings and baby showers to have my dream job. To sit in the back row like, yeah, whatever. Have your bullshit love party. Hope it works out. I'm still gonna have the coolest job of anybody you know. And that was true until somebody married an astronaut. And everybody's so impressed. I guess astronaut beats everything. They're like, you gotta admit, Taylor, that's the coolest job. And I'm like, oh, he's gotta wear a costume or he'll die? Fuck off. That's a dumb job. No, if I can't breathe somewhere, I don't go there, Dan. That's just science. Dan has hasn't even been to space, you guys. He just goes to work and practices space. That's his job. He goes in, they put him in a roller coaster ride. They're like, don't throw up. He's like, you got it, Captain. What a hero.
She leans on the mic stand.
I'm not proud of this, but I told the girl that married him, I was like, you better hope he never does go to space. And she goes, why? Because it's dangerous? I said, no, because he's going to cheat on you up there. Oh, you don't think astronauts are cheating? They're in space for months, floating. How long do you think it's going to take before one of them looks at each other like, hey, you know we should try?
Standing on one leg, she minds being weightless.
Houston, we have a problem. Not a big one. I mean, it's medium. It's not small or anything. I'm just saying, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens on the moon never even happened. We faked that landing.
She shakes her head.
That's a joke. We didn't fake it. There were no female astronauts back then.
She shrugs and raises her eyebrows.
But if any of the relationships that I had had in my 20s had worked out, I would not have my dream job. I would not have the career I've always wanted. And I've had a lot of cool experiences just this year as a result of being on my own. I finally got to do some shows in Europe back in April, which was a dream come true. And because I was single, instead of taking someone I was dating, I took my best friend, Courtney. Courtney's been my best friend since we were 10 years old, 20 years. She's seen me through everything. She saw me through depression in high school. She saw my first stand-up show ever. When I called off an engagement a few years ago, she kept my wedding dress in her attic like it was Jumanji. I'm like, just put this where I can't hear the drums. And she and I got to run around Europe paying for shit with my dick joke money. It was awesome. And it was really special to have her on that trip with me because exactly a year before that, last April, I was alone in a green room in Colorado, pre-show, post some breakup. And I got a call from Courtney. And I was like, hey, I thought you were on vacation with your boyfriend this weekend. And she goes, yeah, no, we are, but I just want to check in and see how you were doing. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. And I talked to her about me for like 10, 15 minutes. And finally I was like, hey, you're not really saying anything about you and your trip. I mean, are you guys okay? She goes, oh my God, yes. Oh yeah, no, we're great. We're great. We're actually, we are actually engaged. And I was like, what? Oh my God, why did you ask about me at all? And she goes, I don't know. I guess I just wanted to make sure that you were in a place where you could hear it.
Her jaw drops open.
It was so sweet and so hurtful. I have never felt so seen and so insulted in my whole life. Her fiance was there the whole time. Oh, she's like, and then what else? She sounds stable. She sounds like she can handle it. That's how you know your best friend's met the one, by the way, when you can no longer get them on the phone alone ever again. You call them late at night crying halfway through the call. They're like, by the way, you don't care that Todd's been here the whole time, right? And you're like, oh my God, no. I actually called to see if Todd thinks I have a yeast infection. So glad Todd is available. And don't get me wrong, I love my best friend's fiance. I think he's an amazing guy. If he died, would a little part of me be like, sleep over, of course.
She glowers.
But I really was so touched that she was thinking about me and my mental health during her engagement that I went out on stage that night and I said, before we start the show, can you guys do me a huge favor? Can we make a video for my best friend who just got engaged? And the crowd's like, yeah. So I got my phone, I put on selfie mode, and I went 1, 2, 3. Congratulations, Courtney! Me and 2,000 people yelling at her. And I got off stage that night, and I texted her the video to say, hey, I love you. I'm so happy for you. And look at all these people who paid to see me. I'm doing just fine. I have one of Hugh Jackman's gloves. Thank you so much, DC. You are absolutely amazing. Thank you, guys, seriously. Thank you so, so much. You guys were fantastic.
Audio description by Post House VSI Los Angeles. Audio description scriptwriter, Mari Morrison. Audio description narrator, Liliana Resende. Credits appear. Written and performed by Taylor Tomlinson. Executive producers, Taylor Tomlinson, Judy Marmel, John Bravakis, Christian Mercado. Directed by Christian Mercado. Lighting and production designer, Robert W. Peterson. Produced by Jeff Thorson. Other credits follow. Words appear. Early show.
Now, does anyone think they have a weird sleep tip? Super weird. Oh, wow. We got a confident hand right here. What do you got? What is it? Sleep in a different city? Bitch, do you know what my job is? sleep in a different city. Know your audience. All right, what else we got? That was not a strong start. Anybody else have anything? It's okay if nobody does. Oh, we do right here.
Yeah, one thing I found is get a very firm, advanced back support mattress.
Get a very firm mattress. Okay, do we need to hear the instructions again? If you think you have a weird sleep tip that I have never heard of, I would love for you to raise your hand and tell me, but if no one has anything, that's completely fine. We have one hand over here. What have we got, glasses?
Cat plus Xanax.
Cat and Xanax. If you think that I don't have Xanax, this is your first show with me. Okay, all right. Well, if nobody else thinks, look, it's fine. We're okay, what about here, right here?
478
What is it?
478
rhythmic breathing. Okay, you guys, I'm gonna be honest. Y'all shat the bed on this one. These were some basic answers, and that's okay. What? Did someone say read a book? I'm gonna fuck you up after this show. Meet me in the parking lot. Read a book. Oh my God. Okay, right here. Wow, it's crazy that people are getting more confident as they hear other people's terrible answers. They're like, I can beat firm mattress, surely. What have you got, second row?
Vicks on your back.
What's on your back?
Vicks
on your back. These are not good, you guys. thank you for playing. All right, what is the last one?
Stretch for 5 minutes.
Stretch for 5 minutes? I'm never coming back to this city again.
Logos appear. T-Tom Productions. Triage Entertainment. Copyright Netflix 2024.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.